from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for Bob Haney, still with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass. We're getting you some news from the Nest. Couple of things to get to. Vinny, I want to start with this SI story I saw the other day from John Alfano. He was quoting Adam Rank from NFL.com, who feels like this season for the Ravens will only be deemed a success if the Ravens win the Lombardi Trophy. Adam Rank says there's really no other box to check. The Ravens were so impressive in 2023 because they basically outclassed all of the good teams that were in their way. It wasn't like some of these squads that fatten up on the sub 500 teams and then try to squeak out wins against contenders. The Ravens obliterated powerhouses like the Lions and 49ers. They dropped 56 points on the Dolphins and they rolled. But once again, everything soured with a postseason defeat, this time at home against the Chiefs. Baltimore has to win the Super Bowl or this season can't be considered a success. Most Ravens fans will agree. The Orioles have a little bit of wiggle room, but not the Ravens. It's all or nothing.
Well, the difference in the two is last year the Orioles lost three straight in the first round of the playoffs. The Ravens lost in the AFC Championship game with the best record in the NFL and the number one seed. So absolutely, it is Super Bowl or bust. That would, other than that, is a disappointment. It's kind of like when I was at the Niners. You know how many NFC championship games we lost to Dallas or what? I mean, like three. And that was, we were four, same situation. 14-2, get to the NFC championship game, lose to Dallas at home. Same scenario. And you know what? Nobody was happy at all. I mean, it was like a bad, it was not a good season. If the Ravens go 15-1 or 16-1, and then losing the AFC Championship game, it's not a good year. I mean, the year we were 14-2 and lost, Eddie DeBartolo wanted to fire people. That's how much I think expectations for the Ravens. Absolutely, Super Bowl or bust.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree. I mean, you get to the AFC Championship game, you host an AFC Championship game, and like Adam said, they were the best team in football. When I saw what they did to the Niners on Christmas night, after that, it was like, in my mind, I just knew the Ravens were going to win the Super Bowl. I didn't think that there was another team in the league that could deal with these guys. And remember, at the time, this was a Chiefs team that lost earlier that day to the Raiders at home on Christmas Day. Yep. So the Chiefs weren't looking like a Super Bowl team at that time. And it's just funny how things change. Ultimately, you got to get through Mahomes and those guys. And they have shown us to this point, at least I hope we realize this by now, it doesn't matter what they look like from week 1 to 17. If they get into the postseason, that's the team you have to beat no matter where it is. And until that happens, it's going to be an uphill battle for the Ravens. So I do believe that it's Super Bowl or bust for this team. And I really don't like saying that because it's only going to be one team. But when you've achieved what this team has been able to achieve and you've got the reigning MVP on your team this year, I really don't care about all the turnover. They've got to go get it done.
Yeah, it's like those other sports teams or whatever that they realize, hey, it's all about the playoffs. It matters what we do when we get in the playoffs. And with Kansas City, they got the difference maker. They got the guy that changes everything. They got the guy that knows how to get it done at that time. And that's what Lamar's trying to become. It's what Josh Allen's trying to become. Joe Burrow. They're all, how do I beat this guy in the playoffs? Nobody can.
And I do think something needs to be said about, I think we all knew how good Travis Kelce was. But this year, when you saw the depleted weapons around Mahomes, you got to really see how good Travis Kelce is because you know where the ball's going. It's only him. I mean, Rashee Rice had his moments, but in the postseason, it was pretty much all Travis Kelce. And he stepped it up all the way through the AFC Championship game to the Super Bowl. He's making great plays. I think it showed, as great as Mahomes is, to have somebody almost equally as great in Travis Kelce to be able to get the ball to, that matters. And I just wonder who's going to be that guy for the Ravens to take their game to the next level once the postseason starts.
Well, like Kelce said against, he says, Kyle Hamilton had great coverage on me.
It's just nothing, you know.
You know, I mean, the balls that were thrown. Yeah. I mean, the touchdown. Can Lamar make that play at crunch time? That's the thing. And you know why Kelce was so good this year? P-O-P-P.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that is?
P-O-P-P?
Yeah.
What is that?
It's the power of positive you know what.
I guess so. I guess so. And Mahomes might be a byproduct of that himself if he tells it. Let's go to another thing. I saw on Ravens.com, late for work, here by Kevin Eck, who wrote this one today. They have up here Marlon Humphrey was named by Sports Illustrated the most underrated player, named Ravens' most underrated player. Do you agree with that?
Hell no. Yeah. Not even close. I don't think at all. I think he played 10 games last year. I mean, if you put that Miami game on, is he the most underrated player? No, he's the most gone after player. Most underrated player? You could have probably said Kyle Hamilton. You didn't have those expectations. Matabike, who had eight sacks and then he gets 13 and a half. Marlon Humphrey? Not even, that wouldn't even come into conversation.
Yeah, I could think of at least three people off the top of my head, and maybe likely wouldn't be considered one anymore, but I feel like he's a backup tight end. Yep, I still think that falls into the range of underrated. I would throw Justice Hill out there as underrated because he literally does everything for them, and when he does get opportunities to get carries, he's pretty efficient when you look at his numbers. And I would even say Brandon Stevens is probably an underrated guy for the Ravens.
Much more so than Marlon.
Yeah.
Nolan, because he became the number one guy.
I guess it depends how you define underrated.
Yeah.
I mean, Stevens probably not well known to the average NFL fan, at least right now, so I'd agree with that. Maybe offensively, no flashy stats, but you know, Nelson Aguilar serving his role very well. Reliable. He's not going to be your leading receiver, but you know, kind of turned his career around and made himself more reliable than he had been a few years prior.
Yeah, I just feel like there's a couple of people you could get to before you start naming Marlon Humphrey as. I had to check it. Initially, I thought it said overrated player, so I was like, all right, maybe I could get with that. But as we're getting on air, I checked it again and it said underrated, and I just don't know where that's coming from. I don't know how you could consider Marlon underrated right now. Maybe in the past, you know, I do think when Marlon did have some of his good years, there were times where I felt like when people named the top corners in the league, his name would get skipped over. But now I can't really have that
argument.
Well, when
you're talking about a guy that was in the Pro Bowl, what, 2 years ago? How do you call him underrated?
Yeah.
You know, right now he's underachiever.
Definitely is an underachiever. And he and guys like Ronnie Stanley, they're looking to kind of change that for themselves going into this next year. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll play a little buy or sell, bring in Quick Draw McGraw, answer some questions in the world of sports, check in on the stock market as well with Vinny Serrato. That's next here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for Bob Haney, still with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass. We're going until 2 o'clock on this beautiful Woman Crush Wednesday here on The Fan. Playing a little buy or sell. First, Vinny, how's that stock market?
Yeah, the Dow is down 28. The S&P's up 21. NASDAQ is up 135. So DraftKings up 55 cents today. Under Armour's down 3 cents, 628.
All right, we'll start here in the NBA, where the 76ers, well, kind of a roller coaster here for the past month with them and Paul George. They were the favorites to land him, then apparently not interested at all, then back to the top suitor, all in the span of a month. Earlier this week, they signed him to a 4-year Supermax deal that he'll join forces with Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey, one of the more intriguing big threes that's been constructed here in a while. Unlike other pairings of star players, this one feels a little different, mainly because Embiid and Maxey already have chemistry. George doesn't really seem to play a conflicting style of basketball, but it's yet another swing by Philly management to bring home a title with their MVP big man as the centerpiece. Cordell, buy or sell, even with the addition of Paul George, the Sixers still come in behind the Celtics in the East hierarchy.
Yeah, I'll buy that. The problem with the Sixers hasn't always been the talent. It's been they can't trust their star player to be healthy in the most important time of the year. Getting Paul George doesn't help that. In fact, I could make the argument it hurts that because Paul George has injury concerns himself. He struggled to make it through a whole year. I don't know how dependable he's going to be in April, let alone Embiid. So on paper, it looks good. I like keeping Maxey. I even like Paul George as a player as well, and is also with Embiid. But this doesn't change my injury concerns when it comes to the Sixers.
Over to the NFL, last year was an uncharacteristic season for Von Miller. He returned from the 2022 ACL injury he suffered, played 12 games for Buffalo, but failed to record a sack. And now as he looks back on it, he says he's extremely frustrated, mostly because he admits he probably shouldn't have been out there at all. The direct quote from Miller says, "I could have easily sat out all of last season, but I couldn't do that to my teammates. I felt like being later in my career, I didn't want to sacrifice any of my years." He was used more as a rotational piece, never started any of those 12 games that he played last year. But Vinny, are you buying or selling that Miller's lack of production was still a direct result of the ACL injury?
Oh, I'll buy that. I'll buy that. And I guess soft buy, Norm. I mean, because he is getting older, and he's going to go out there this year, and we're going to find out for sure if he was done or it was the ACL, because it's year two after the ACL, and a lot of times with those injuries, running backs and those types of guys, year two, they get much better. So we'll see. Otherwise, I wouldn't be shocked, because he did take a pay cut. I wouldn't be shocked, Norm, that, you know, if he struggles out of the gate, he could be cut.
We'll go back to the NBA here. The Warriors have agreed to a sign-and-trade. They're going to send Klay Thompson to the Mavericks, and he'll get a new deal as a result. Joins a team that just made the finals, has a clear-cut star duo already in place, Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving. So why the need for another guard or small forward? Klay, sure, he can shoot the three, did get a taste of coming off the bench with Golden State this past year, even if that wasn't his preferred role at first. Buy or sell, Cordell, Thompson can reinvent himself as a three-point bench specialist at this point in his career?
Well, I'll sell it because I wouldn't be surprised if he starts for them. I mean, you look at their starting lineup, he could definitely start at the three spot. I mean, the positions are kind of just up in the air nowadays. It's positionless basketball, but I could definitely see Klay Thompson starting for them. I think he can reinvent himself and help this Mavericks team. Look, the Mavericks overachieved this year. I'm not going to sit here and say that I expect the Mavericks to be front runners to come out of the West next year. I don't. So we'll see what type of matchups they get if they are able to get to the postseason. But I think Klay can help them. They needed a guy that can be outside spot up shooting because they have two guards that can penetrate. Klay has been able to guard decently throughout his career. I don't know what you're getting defensively out of him at this point of his career, but definitely I think he can help the Mavericks.
Hey, Norma, what I was reading and listening was that Kidd and the GM flew to L.A. to meet with Klay and explain to him how he exactly fits in. And they were basically, like Cordell said, they need a spot-up three-point shooter. And he felt comfortable in, you know, what he's going to do. Yeah, defensively, is he going to need some help? Sure. But they wanted a three-point guy.
Well, then, if that's the case, it wouldn't surprise me with what Cordell's saying that he would start.
Yes.
Because he really was frustrated by being benched last year.
Yeah, I think that was, with him being a free agent, well, not necessarily a free agent, but kind of a free agent, he's picking where he's going to a degree. I think anybody he spoke to, he let it be known he didn't want to come off the bench.
We'll go back to the NFL here. This year's rookie quarterback class, we know it's headlined by Caleb Williams, and He's going to slot right in as the Bears' new starter. The assumption is, in Washington, Jaden Daniels will do the same. But for the rest of the first-rounders selected, they may have to wait a little while or earn their stripes. The group here of Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix, and Bo Nix, they're all going to be in training camp competitions, but it seems likely that in all those cases, the veteran is going to beat them out and become the week one starter. We know the league, highly unpredictable. Injuries are always a part of the equation. Vinny, buy or sell, everyone in this year's rookie quarterback class will start at least one game this season.
In the whole rookie?
So, you know, Williams is a lock, Daniels
yes,
a lock.
Yes.
But May, McCarthy, Penix, and Nix all start at least one game.
I'll buy it. And, you know, the McCarthy and May are the two that probably won't start initially. But New England's going to be so bad at the end of the year, they're going to want to get him some time. And with McCarthy, I think it's only going to be a matter of time till he's ready because Darnold will be throwing too many interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
Penix probably the biggest what if there simply yeah. because of who's ahead of him. That's not really a competition. It's Cousins' job.
Yeah.
An injury would probably be.
And outside of last year, Kirk doesn't miss a lot of games, you know, throughout his career. So, yeah, I mean, you imagine maybe it's a time. Let's say the Falcons are just out of this world good and, you know, they get to the back end of the season and, you know, it's a game
like
that,
the Ravens had with Pittsburgh.
He can start that one. I can see that. But, yeah, it'll be an uphill battle for Penix to get some starts this year. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get back to the Orioles. Orioles took game one out in Seattle last night, winning 2-0 in that pitcher's duel. Perfect time to bring on Jim Horner, long-term voice of the Baltimore Orioles. Also one of our colleagues here, 105.7 The Fan, here with Baltimore Baseball Tonight. We'll talk to Jim about what the Orioles have looked like to this point. What do they need to do as we get closer to the deadline as well, and much more next here on The Fan. Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for Bob here with Vinny Serrato. Quick draw McGraw behind the glass going until 2 o'clock. Right here on The Fan. Orioles, they won 2-0 last night out in Seattle. They're back at it tonight in Seattle. Another late one as they're on this West Coast trip. Perfect time to bring in longtime voice of the Baltimore Orioles and our colleague here on 105.7 The Fan, one of our co-hosts for Baltimore Baseball Tonight, Jim Hunter. Jim, what's going on?
How you doing there, guys?
Not good. Bad. Not bad at all. And, Jim, last night we got to get a really good pitcher's duel. Grayson Rodriguez, he seemed to be the one to come out on top. And we hear so much about the Orioles' needs for pitching. And they're true. They're correct in saying that. But when you look at what they have and you look at the top of the pitching staff and guys like Burns and Grayson and what they've been able to do this year, how impressed have you been with these guys?
Well, it's very impressive because when you look at the three guys they've lost, all the elbow surgery, and overall they're still second in the major leagues in starters ERA, 3.32. The Phillies are the only team that is better, and they're at 2.95. And I don't think anyone would have predicted that when you lose Bradish and you lose John Means. And, you know, I realize Wells has been out longer than the other two, but when you have guys going in that you weren't counting on and pitching well, and as you mentioned, Cordell, at the top of the rotation with Grayson and Burns, you have a legitimate 1-2 punch. And you know, you look at what they've done in the last six games. The starters have had a decision in all six of those games, and they've gone 5-1 in those six starts. The only clunker was Cole Irvin's start on Sunday against Texas. So overall, they're holding their own. I do believe they will trade for a starter. I think they need to trade for a veteran, somebody who's been through it before. But overall, so far, so good. And, you know, you talk about a first-place team in the AL East now by a game over the Yankees. So far, all is doing well.
Now, Jim, what's your confidence level when Kimbrel comes into the game?
You know, Vinny, I was watching last night, and I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You hit two batters to put the tying runs on base.
How about the foul homer?
Yeah, that ball was really tagged, but he got out in front of it, and he hooked it foul. But, you know, he's holding his own. I mean, he's got, what, 20 saves now? So he's definitely holding his own, but it's not a sure thing, even though he's been on a pretty good run here as of late. But you're right. I mean, you know, his command has been better except for last night. And in fairness to him, both hit-by-pitches were borderline hit-by-pitches. They just grazed the two batters. But again, when you're protecting a 2-0 lead and you bring the winning run to the plate, that's not a way to do it. You have to make them earn their way on. I mean, Seattle has the worst batting average in all of Major League Baseball. They're only batting .217 as a team, so you can't give them free base runners. Obviously, he didn't try to do it, or he didn't mean to do it. It just happened, but you have to make Seattle earn their way on.
Jim, we saw Cedric Mullins come through in a big way, getting that RBI single last night late in the game to give them the 2-0 lead. We've seen Mullins really turn it on in the month of June. How optimistic are you that he'll be able to carry that in throughout July?
Well, I think you have to be optimistic because, Cordell, he has a track record. You know, he got off to a slow start. Everyone has documented that. But he certainly has come on. And, you know, as Brandon Hyde said yesterday in his pregame comments with the media, when you have Cedric hitting as he is, because he has the ability to hit the ball to the gaps, hit for power, and then on the bases, although he got caught stealing last night, you know, there's a way where his speed definitely plays into it. So I'm very confident that he has found his stroke. I feel like he's confident now in the way that the ball is coming off his bat. And you look at what he's done lately, you know, he's really hit the ball well. I mean, he's had, what, two multi-hit games in his last five, and that is a bonus. And, you know, defensively, he's as good as there is in center field.
Now, Jim, what's your expectations for Kramer tonight?
You know, the jury's out on that, Vinny. You know, he didn't pitch well in any of his rehab starts.
Nope.
Obviously, he's healthy or they wouldn't be activating him. But he's got a lot to prove. He really does. Because, you know, he right now, I guess he's going to replace Irvin in the rotation because somebody's got to – well, first of all, they're going to have to make a move. So somebody's probably going to go out of the bullpen, and I would imagine Irvin goes into the bullpen. But, you know, he's only 3-4 on the year with an ERA of 4.32. You know, he's not what he was last year. And I don't know what anyone could expect from him tonight, especially because when he went to his minor league rehab starts, he really didn't pitch well. His command was an issue, and he gave up a lot of runs. So, you know, I think you hope for the best. You know, the one advantage, as I mentioned earlier, he's facing the worst hitting team in all of Major League Baseball, and that has to be a plus. So what he has to do is be aggressive, attack the strike zone, and go after the Seattle hitters and make them beat him as opposed to allowing walks and hit by pitches to give them free base runners.
We're talking to Baltimore Baseball tonight. Co-host Jim Hunter is Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. And Jim, we've both said it. They need to trade for pitching, and we all anticipate them doing so. We saw the Brewers trade for Aaron Civale today from the Rays, who hasn't been great. You know, you look at his numbers, they're not anything blowing you away. But you look at what they gave up. They didn't really have to give up anything to get him. And I started to wonder, with the Orioles' track record of being able to turn some of these pitchers around with whatever these coaches are doing with them out there in Baltimore, I wondered if the Orioles would take a flyer on one of these cheaper pitchers to help bolster their rotation. Not let that be the only move, but just let that be maybe one of their cheaper options to go. How do you feel about that? Or are you keen on the Orioles going out and getting kind of as many premier arms as they can?
Well, obviously, you'd like to have the premier arms, pitchers that have done it before, and pitchers that have a postseason track record. But it all depends on what Mike Elias is comfortable giving up. You know, I read all these trade rumors all day long, and in almost every one of them, they have Kobe Mayo being the piece that is the prize piece going away to acquire a starting pitcher. I'm not convinced they're going to trade Cody Mayo. In fact, he might be in Baltimore after the All-Star break. You just never know. I mean, he certainly has earned it. The question is, what do they do with Ramon Arias? And do they bench Mateo and put Westberg at second base full-time and play Mayo at third base full-time? So it all depends. I mean, what you described is the easier way to go because you don't have to give up that much. The Rays trade Savali for a minor league infielder. That adds to their depth in their minor league system, but they didn't have to give the Brewers didn't have to give up too much to get an underachieving starter. They obviously hope that Savali will help in Milwaukee. But, you know, the one thing I find interesting, I saw in Rock's column today that the AAA pitching coach is in Seattle with the team to get a feel for the major league staff. And he has done wonders with guys at AAA. When Grayson got sent down last year, he turned them around.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for Bob here with Vinny Serrato. Quick draw McGraw behind the glass going until 2 o'clock. Right here on The Fan. Orioles, they won 2-0 last night out in Seattle. They're back at it tonight in Seattle. Another late win as they're on this West Coast trip. Perfect time to bring in longtime voice of the Baltimore Orioles and our colleague here on 105.7 The Fan, one of our co-hosts for Baltimore Baseball Tonight, Jim Hunter. Jim, what's going on?
How you doing there, guys?
Not bad at all. And Jim, last night we got to get a really good pitcher's duel. Grayson Rodriguez, he seemed to be the one to come out on top. And we hear so much about the Orioles' needs for pitching, and they're true. They're correct in saying that. But when you look at what they have and you look at the top of the pitching staff and guys like Burns and Grayson and what they've been able to do this year, how impressed have you been with these guys?
Well, it's very impressive because when you look at the three guys they've lost, all the elbow surgery, and overall they're still second in the major leagues in starters ERA, 3.32. The Phillies are the only team that's better, and they're at 2.95. And I don't think anyone would have predicted that when you lose Bradish and you lose John Means. And, you know, I realize Wells has been out longer than the other two, but when you have guys going in that you weren't counting on and pitching well, and as you mentioned, Cordell, at the top of the rotation with Grayson and Burns, you have a legitimate 1-2 punch. And you know, you look at what they've done in the last six games. The starters have had a decision in all six of those games, and they've gone 5-1 in those six starts. The only clunker was Cole Irvin's start on Sunday against Texas. So overall, they're holding their own. I do believe they will trade for a starter. I think they need to trade for a veteran, somebody who's been through it before. But overall, so far, so good. And, you know, you talk about a first-place team in the AL East now by a game over the Yankees. So far, all is doing well.
Now, Jim, what's your confidence level when Kimbrel comes into the game?
You know, Vinny, I was watching last night, and I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You hit two batters to put the tying runs on base.
How about the foul homer?
Yeah, that ball was really tagged, but he got out in front of it, and he hooked it foul. But, you know, he's holding his own. I mean, he's got, what, 20 saves now? So he's definitely holding his own, but it's not a sure thing, even though he's been on a pretty good run here as of late. But you're right. I mean, you know, his command has been better except for last night. And in fairness to him, both hit-by-pitches were borderline hit-by-pitches. They just grazed the two batters. But again, when you're protecting a 2-0 lead and you bring the winning run to the plate, that's not a way to do it. You have to make them earn their way on. I mean, Seattle has the worst batting average in all of Major League Baseball. They're only batting .217 as a team, so you can't give them free base runners. Obviously, he didn't try to do it, or he didn't mean to do it. It just happened, but you have to make Seattle earn their way on.
Jim, we saw Cedric Mullins come through in a big way, getting that RBI single last night late in the game to give them the 2-0 lead. We've seen Mullins really turn it on in the month of June. How optimistic are you that he'll be able to carry that in throughout July?
Well, I think you have to be optimistic because, Cordell, he has a track record. You know, he got off to a slow start. Everyone has documented that. But he certainly has come on. And, you know, as Brandon Hyde said yesterday in his pregame comments with the media, when you have Cedric hitting as he is, because he has the ability to hit the ball to the gaps, hit for power, and then on the bases, although he got caught stealing last night, you know, there's a way where his speed definitely plays into it. So I'm very confident that he has found his stroke. I feel like he's confident now in the way that the ball is coming off his bat. And you look at what he's done lately, you know, he's really hit the ball well. I mean, he's had, what, two multi-hit games in his last five, and that is a bonus. And, you know, defensively, he's as good as there is in center field.
Now, Jim, what's your expectations for Kramer tonight?
You know, the jury's out on that, Vinny. You know, he didn't pitch well in any of his rehab starts.
Nope.
Obviously, he's healthy or they wouldn't be activating him. But he's got a lot to prove. He really does. Because, you know, he right now, I guess he's going to replace Irvin in the rotation because somebody's got to – well, first of all, they're going to have to make a move. So somebody's probably going to go out of the bullpen, and I would imagine Irvin goes into the bullpen. But, you know, he's only 3-4 on the year with an ERA of 4.32. You know, he's not what he was last year. And I don't know what anyone could expect from him tonight, especially because when he went to his minor league rehab starts, he really didn't pitch well. His command was an issue, and he gave up a lot of runs. So, you know, I think you hope for the best. You know, the one advantage, as I mentioned earlier, he's facing the worst hitting team in all of Major League Baseball, and that has to be a plus. So what he has to do is be aggressive, attack the strike zone, and go after the Seattle hitters and make them beat him as opposed to allowing walks and hit by pitches to give them free base runners.
We're talking to Baltimore baseball tonight. Co-host Jim Hunter is Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. And Jim, we've both said it. They need to trade for pitching, and we all anticipate them doing so. We saw the Brewers trade for Aaron Civale today from the Rays, who hasn't been great. You know, you look at his numbers, they're not anything blowing you away. But you look at what they gave up. They didn't really have to give up anything to get him. And I started to wonder, with the Orioles' track record of being able to turn some of these pitchers around with whatever these coaches are doing with them out there in Baltimore, I wondered if the Orioles would take a flyer on one of these cheaper pitchers to help bolster their rotation. Not let that be the only move, but just let that be maybe one of their cheaper options to go. How do you feel about that? Or are you keen on the Orioles going out and getting kind of as many premier arms as they can?
Well, obviously, you'd like to have the premier arms, pitchers that have done it before, and pitchers that have a postseason track record. But it all depends on what Mike Elias is comfortable giving up. You know, I read all these trade rumors all day long, and in almost every one of them, they have Kobe Mayo being the piece that is the prize piece going away to acquire a starting pitcher. I'm not convinced they're going to trade Cody Mayo. In fact, he might be in Baltimore after the All-Star break. You just never know. I mean, he certainly has earned it. The question is, what do they do with Ramon Arias? And do they bench Mateo and put Westberg at second base full-time and play Mayo at third base full-time? So it all depends. I mean, what you described is the easier way to go, because you don't have to give up that much. You know, the Rays trade Savali for a minor league infielder. That adds to their depth in their minor league system, but they didn't have to give, the Brewers didn't have to give up too much to get an underachieving starter. They obviously hope that Savali will help in Milwaukee. But, you know, the one thing I find interesting, I saw in Rock's column today that the AAA pitching coach is in Seattle with the team to get a feel for the major league staff. And he has done wonders with guys at AAA. When, you know, when Grayson got sent down last year, he turned them around. This guy just has a knack for being able to spot deficiencies either in mechanics or approach, and that might be something to look forward to in the second half, where if they do bring in a pitcher who might need, you know, as you mentioned, Cordell, a guy who's not going to cost you that much, a lower level acquisition, the AAA pitching coach is going to play in with the major league pitching coach with French to try to get the best out of these guys, but I would love to see them get a headliner.
Now, Jim, if they get a headliner, I don't see them getting one now, just because there is not enough sellers right now, and Mike Elias would have to overpay. You know, maybe at the trade deadline, maybe it becomes a lot easier because there's a lot more sellers, but it just seems like everybody that's buying wants pitching.
Well, that's true, Vinny, and, you know, it's only July 3rd. And the Orioles are already in first place, so there shouldn't be any panic. Obviously, they want to make their team better, and I wouldn't mind, you know, another veteran bullpen piece either.
Agreed.
Because, you know, the bullpen is so important. I mean, you look at last night, the bullpen had to come into the game when Grayson left after 6 1/3, and they did very well, even though Kimbrel did allow the tying runs on with two hit-by pitches. But 3 strikeouts, no runs, and no hits in 2 2/3 last night following Grayson. So, you know, we'll just have to see how it plays out. But I would imagine that, I agree with you, as it gets closer, the asking price comes down, although every team in baseball knows how stacked the Orioles system is, and there's a redundancy of prospects, in my opinion. You know, Gunnar Henderson just turned 23 last weekend, and he's already the everyday shortstop. If there's any shortstops in the Orioles system, you know, they already traded Joey Ortiz to get in the Burns deal. They might be willing to give up somebody like that because they're blocked at the big league level. I mean, Jordan Westberg is going to play every day, either at second or third base, which means, you know, Connor Norby becomes susceptible to being traded because he's already been in the big leagues. He's having a very good year at AAA, and he's a guy that other teams probably would want. So we'll have to see. You know, it all depends on how much they're willing to give up and how much they're willing to go versus, as Cordell mentioned, you know, the secondary tier or the front tier. I would prefer the front tier, and I would prefer a bullpen arm who's done it before and has some postseason success. But again, it just depends on what the other teams are requesting for those players.
Jim, great stuff, man. Really appreciate you making some time for us this afternoon. We'll talk again down the line, and enjoy the rest of your week, especially 4th of July.
Yeah, happy 4th of July, guys. Good
same to you, Jim.
Right. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll keep it going with the Orioles talk. We know the Orioles need to trade for pitchers, but will they do it? We don't know. Last year, we expected them to be a lot more aggressive at the deadline. They weren't. If the Orioles aren't able to make a lot of noise at the deadline to acquire more starting pitching, how comfortable are we with this duo of Grayson and Corbin Burns? We'll talk about it next here on The Fan. Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for Bob Haney here with Vinny Serrato. Quick draw McGraw. He's behind the glass. We're going until 2 o'clock right here on The Fan. And we've been talking some Orioles baseball. And, of course, you know, everybody is looking forward to the Orioles making a couple of moves here as we get closer to the trade deadline to acquire some more pitching in both the starting rotation and in the bullpen. I think everybody's in agreement with that. But there's no guarantee that the Orioles are going to be as busy as we all want them to be with the deadline, especially with everybody looking for pitching, both bullpen and starting. So it got me thinking, especially with Grayson's dominant outing last night, and we had Jim Hunter on in the last segment, and he talked about just where the Orioles rank in terms of total ERA around the entire league. They're still up there with the best. If the Orioles aren't as busy at the deadline and they don't acquire any premier arms for this rotation, how comfortable are we with it where it stands when you have guys like Corbin Burns and Grayson at the top of the rotation?
Well, let me ask you this, Cordell, because you know all the players in the locker room and stuff. All right, you get close to the deadline, you're competing with the Yankees and Cleveland and all that, and you don't do anything. What's the response in the locker room? Because let's say the Yankees go get some guys, everybody else goes and gets somebody, and you get nothing. Is it like, damn, what the hell is Elias doing? What do you think the response is? Because a lot of times, you know, you get that guy, and it's like, you know, he's getting us over the hump kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be tough because this is a team that right now is at the top of the American League East.
Right.
So with all the issues that they're dealing with, I think I would imagine, I don't know this to be honest, but I would just imagine, just knowing that clubhouse, that they would be all right. They'd be all right with it. They'd take it as, we're good with what we have in here. We made the move to get Corbin at the start of the year. We've got Grayson, who's pitching at a high level. Who knows? Maybe Dean Kramer can turn it around despite what we've seen in a couple of his rehab starts. And Suarez, I just don't know how long that's going to continue. He's, you know, everything's got a shelf life. I don't think he's going to be as good as he has been for the most part this season, throughout the rest of the season and into the postseason as well. I just think that's a lot to ask for from this guy. But ultimately, if the pitching isn't where it needs to be, they'll just say, well, we got to pick it up offensively. We'll pick it up at the plate. And they're the best home run hitting team in baseball. They have the bats to be able to overcome it. Everybody's got a shortcoming. Every team out here has a shortcoming. Pitching may be theirs. But we saw teams last year. The Diamondbacks made it all the way to the World Series, and they didn't have the best rotation. They didn't have the best bullpen. They just got hot at the right time. The Rangers, same thing with them. I mean, Scherzer had to work his way back in the ALCS. So I don't know. I think that they do need to improve the pitching staff. I want to be clear about that. I do think they need to improve it. But I don't know if I'm going to sit here and say that the season is lost if they don't, just because I still think they have a good team.
Yeah. The only thing that would concern me, Cordell, is like everybody always says, man, good pitching takes care of good hitting.
For sure.
You know, and you go into a 7-game series and you only have two pitchers. You know, they can't pitch every day, you know, so I that would be difficult. I don't know, you know, because whoever you're going to play at that time in a seven-game series, they're going to have good pitching.
No doubt.
So you've got to hope that they're pitching, you know, like when they played the Yankees, they thought that they, you know, the matchups favored the Yankees and all of them, but the O's won.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you've got to get a situation like that where they're – you got to hope that their ace is off a little bit and your hitters can take care of it. What do you think, Norm?
Well, you need three.
You're kinda right. Like, I agree with that.
Three's your minimum,
right?
But the way you get to that three kind of varies team to team. Some teams have more depth where one through five, you like the full product, but only one of those guys is a true ace.
Mm-hmm.
The Orioles have two aces, right. I think we can comfortably say, in Burns and Rodriguez, but it's a steep drop-off when you go from two to three and then four and mm-hmm. five. They don't have enough, simply put. I mean, for a best-of-three wild-card series, maybe you'd win the first two games. You don't have to play the third. But beyond that, a best-of-five or a seven, like Vinny said, you know, are you really want to ask Corbin Burns to turn around and pitch on short rest because you don't have anybody? I mean, he could technically, but it's not ideal. You definitely need three. And who they acquire, again, it doesn't have to be another ace caliber guy. You know, Bradish probably even fit that ace prototype if he was healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But just somebody a little more reliable.
Right.
Because, high three ERA, maybe right. even a four ERA. But it could be good enough to get you through.
They have one, two, and then it goes to five.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of that. And unless Kramer just decides to wake up and tap into what he was able to be for the most part of last year. But even that kind of that show ended abruptly by the time we got to the postseason. So I want to be clear. I definitely believe that they need to add more.
What are you expecting from Kramer tonight?
Like Jim said, it's a crapshoot. It's a crapshoot because a lot of these guys struggle in their rehab starts because they're just out there. Just some dudes are just throwing stuff. They're just
more than 60 pitches he'll get.
I would expect so. I would expect so. The fact that he's here, like he said, tells me they believe he's healthy despite what the outcome was in those outings. They think he's healthy enough. I would expect him to go deep, go longer than 60 pitches. They need him to go more than 60 pitches.
The only reason I say that is because, like, when Garrett Cole came back, Scherzer came back, they all were kind of on, you know, mm-hmm. a pitch count. What do you think, Norm?
In the case of Cole and Scherzer, right, their first starts of the right. year. So I think it's a little bit different. I mean, I'm hoping for at least five innings, three runs or less. I know that seems like a low bar to clear.
This is a team that can score. I mean,
right, but
it's the right team for him to pitch mm-hmm. against.
Be competitive. Keep your team in it. Don't get shelled in the first two innings where we have to turn to the bullpen that's already shaky as it is. We can't have that. You got to be competitive. You got to keep your team in it. And as far as pitch count, all right, maybe he gets through five or five plus, but he's at, you know, 85 pitches. And Hyde says, you know what? He's done well enough. I'll pull him, leave him on a high note.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of trying to push it a little step further, get him closer to that 100 mark, and then, all right, things spiral out of control then. I don't have a problem if there's a quick hook tonight, if it means that he pitched well before he got the quick hook.
Now, what happens, what does Mike Elias say if he pitches bad? You know, he pitches like he's been pitching in Norfolk.
And
he's on the phone before the game ends.
I think he needs to be on the phone regardless. Right. Let's be clear. He needs to be on the phone trying to figure out this pitching situation as is. I just wonder for them, because last year, we all expected them to be buyers, big-time buyers at the deadline, and it kind of turned out to be a dud. I feel like we should kind of prepare ourselves for the other side again this year, just in case it does go that way, because everybody's going to be calling, asking for the same guys in this farm system that they may or may not want to give up. I don't know. Nobody's going to be ringing the phone off the hook for Ramon Urias. It's just not happening. As much as we probably would like to see them move Ramon, somebody else has got to want him. So I just sit. The more I look at it, I just feel like either the Orioles are going to have to be prepared to give up something they don't want to give up, or we could be sitting here, we're having the same conversations around the deadline that we had last year. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll feed you some NFL lunch, look around the NFL, see what's going on as we continue to get closer and closer to training camp. That's next here on The Fan. Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for Bob Haney here with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw, he's behind the glass. We're going until 2 o'clock right here on The Fan. And we've been talking some Orioles baseball, and of course, you know, everybody is looking forward to the Orioles making a couple of moves here as we get closer to the trade deadline to acquire some more pitching in both the starting rotation and in the bullpen. I think everybody's in agreement with that. But there's no guarantee that the Orioles are going to be as busy as we all want them to be with the deadline, especially with everybody looking for pitching, both bullpen and starting. So it got me thinking, especially with Grayson's dominant outing last night, and we had Jim Hunter on in the last segment, and he talked about just where the Orioles rank in terms of total ERA around the entire league. They're still up there with the best. If the Orioles aren't as busy at the deadline and they don't acquire any premier arms for this rotation, how comfortable are we with it where it stands when you have guys like Corbin Burns and Grayson at the top of the rotation?
Well, let me ask you this, Cordell, because you know all the players in the locker room and stuff. All right, you get close to the deadline, you're competing with the Yankees and Cleveland and all that, and you don't do anything. What's the response in the locker room? Because let's say the Yankees go get some guys, everybody else goes and gets somebody, and you get nothing. Is it like, damn, what the hell is Elias doing? What do you think the response is? Because a lot of times, you know, you get that guy and it's like, you know, he's getting us over the hump kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be tough because this is a team that right now is at the top of the American League East.
Right.
So with all the issues that they're dealing with, I think I would imagine, I don't know this to be honest, but I would just imagine just knowing that clubhouse that they would be all right. They'd be all right with it. They'd take it as we're good with what we have in here. We made the move to get Corbin at the start of the year. We've got Grayson who's pitching at a high level. Who knows? Maybe Dean Kramer can turn it around despite what we've seen in a couple of his rehab starts. And Suarez, I just don't know how long that's going to continue. He's, you know, everything's got a shelf life. I don't think he's going to be as good as he has been for the most part this season, throughout the rest of the season and into the postseason as well. I just think that's a lot to ask for from this guy. But ultimately, if the pitching isn't where it needs to be, they'll just say, well, we got to pick it up offensively. We'll pick it up at the plate. And they're the best home run hitting team in baseball. They have the bats to be able to overcome it. Everybody's got a shortcoming. Every team out here has a shortcoming. Pitching may be theirs, but we saw teams last year. The Diamondbacks made it all the way to the World Series, and they didn't have the best rotation. They didn't have the best bullpen. They just got hot at the right time. The Rangers, same thing with them. I mean, Scherzer had to work his way back in the ALCS. So I don't know. I think that they do need to improve the pitching staff. I want to be clear about that. I do think they need to improve it. But I don't know if I'm going to sit here and say that the season is lost if they don't, just because I still think they have a good team.
Yeah. The only thing that would concern me, Cordell, is like everybody always says, man, good pitching takes care of good hitting.
For sure.
You know, and you go into a 7-game series and you only have 2 pitchers. You know, they can't pitch every day, you know, so I that would be difficult. I don't know, you know, because whoever you're going to play at that time in a 7-game series, they're going to have good pitching.
No doubt.
So you got to hope that they're pitching, you know, like when they played the Yankees, they thought that they, you know, the matchups favored the Yankees and all of them, but the O's won.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you've got to get a situation like that where they're, you got to hope that their ace is off a little bit and your hitters can take care of it. What do you think, Norm?
Well, you need 3.
You're right. I agree with that.
3 is your minimum.
Right.
But the way you get to that three kind of varies team to team. Some teams have more depth where 1 through 5, you like the full product, but only one of those guys is a true ace.
Mm-hmm.
The Orioles have two aces, right. I think we can comfortably say, in Burns and Rodriguez, but it's a steep drop-off when you go from 2 to 3 and then 4 and 5. They don't have enough, simply put. I mean, for a best-of-3 wild-card series, maybe. You'd win the first two games, you don't have to play the third. But beyond that, a best-of-5 or a 7, like Vinny said, you know, or you really want to ask Corbin Burns to turn around and pitch on short rest because you don't have anybody? I mean, he could technically, but it's not ideal. You definitely need three. And who they acquire, again, it doesn't have to be another ace caliber guy. You know, Bradish probably even fit that ace prototype if he was healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But just somebody a little more reliable.
Right.
Because, high 3 ERA, maybe right. even a 4 ERA. But it could be good enough to get you through.
They have 1, 2, and then it goes to 5.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of that. And unless Kramer just decides to wake up and tap into what he was able to be for the most part of last year. But even that kind of that show ended abruptly by the time we got to the postseason. So I want to be clear. I definitely believe that they need to add more.
What are you expecting from Kramer tonight?
Like Jim said, it's a crapshoot. It's a crapshoot because a lot of these guys struggle in their rehab starts because they're just out there. Just some dudes are just throwing stuff. They're just
more than 60 pitches. He'll get.
I would expect so. I would expect so. The fact that he's here, like he said, tells me they believe he's healthy, despite what the outcome was in those outings. They think he's healthy enough. I would expect him to go deep, go longer than 60 pitches. They need him to go more than 60 pitches.
The only reason I say that is because, like, when Garrett Cole came back, Scherzer came back, they all were kind of on, you know, mm-hmm. a pitch count. What do you think, Norm?
In the case of Cole and Scherzer, right, their first starts of the year. So I think it's a little bit different. I mean, I'm hoping for at least 5 innings, 3 runs or less. I know that seems like a low bar to clear.
This is a team that can score. I mean,
right, but
it's the right team for him to pitch mm-hmm. against.
Be competitive. Keep your team in it. Don't get shelled in the first 2 innings where we have to turn to the bullpen that's already shaky as it is. We can't have that. You got to be competitive. You got to keep your team in it. And as far as pitch count, all right, maybe he gets through 5 or 5+, but he's at, you know, 85 pitches. And Hyde says, you know what? He's done well enough. I'll pull him, leave him on a high note.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of trying to push it a little step further, get him closer to that 100 mark, and then, all right, things spiral out of control then. I don't have a problem if there's a quick hook tonight, if it means that he pitched well before he got the quick hook.
Now, what happens, what does Mike Elias say if he pitches bad? You know, he pitches like he's been pitching in Norfolk.
And
he's on the phone before the game ends.
I think he needs to be on the phone regardless. Right. Let's be clear. He needs to be on the phone trying to figure out this pitching situation as is. I just wonder for them, because last year, we all expected them to be buyers, big-time buyers at the deadline, and it kind of turned out to be a dud. I feel like we should kind of prepare ourselves for the other side again this year, just in case it does go that way, because everybody's going to be calling, asking for the same guys in this farm system that they may or may not want to give up. I don't know. Nobody's going to be ringing the phone off the hook for Ramon Urias. It's just not happening. As much as we probably would like to see them move Ramon, somebody else has got to want him. So the more I look at it, I just feel like either the Orioles are going to have to be prepared to give up something they don't want to give up, or we could be sitting here we're having the same conversations around the deadline that we had last year. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll feed you some NFL lunch, look around the NFL, see what's going on as we continue to get closer and closer to training camp. That's next here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.